Nepal is facing down a deadline tomorrow. It has to come up with a new constitution. It's part of a peace process that began after the Maoist rebels ended their insurgency 5 years ago. Nepal's economy is limping along after years of instability, and people in Nepal are getting fed up with their government. The government's made up of former enemies who cannot seem to get over their mutual suspicion and get on with things. The World's Mary Kay Magstead reports.
More than one guerrilla group in history has found that fighting and governing are two very different things. Nepal's Maoists have now tried both, and they're conflicted about what they like better. Maoist Politburo member Kim Lal Devkota says some think they should return to revolt.
But some within our party, they are thinking about this peace process is not benefiting to the people. But my personal opinion is that peace and constitution, this is the realistic line of this party within this time, I hope.
It's been 5 years since the Maoists agreed to lay down their arms and come in from the forests. During that time, they've stood for election, won the most votes in 2008, and actually led a government for 9 months before they lost their coalition majority. They point to their achievements in power, starting social programs for the poor and collecting more taxes from the rich. But their critics doubt their commitment to peace. Opposition Congress Party leader Ram Charan Mahat accuses them of having joined the government to cause divisions and lay the groundwork for an urban revolt.
They joined the government to expand power base, to prepare for a proper revolt in the urban area.
Urban areas now are seeing protests. They're calling on political parties to put aside their suspicions and get a new constitution written. This was supposed to have been done a year ago. That deadline passed and got extended. Now the government's looking for another extension. Some Nepalese are asking why their taxes should keep paying for lawmakers to sit around and not write a constitution. A young taxi driver named Ram says he's fed up with all of them.
All the politics people are very bad people. They were always thinking themselves, different things for the people.
Ram spends his days driving around in a beaten-up hatchback. That is, when he isn't spending hours waiting in line for gas. It's in short supply, thanks to Nepal's oil monopoly not paying its bills.
Now listen here, I'm driving, and I don't know what I have to do tomorrow, because no petrol.
No petrol. Each day, Ram wonders whether he'll make enough to take care of his wife and 4-year-old daughter. They're back home, dealing with Kathmandu's 14-hour rolling brownouts. Still, they're better off than most Nepalese. Most are illiterate and live beneath the poverty line. Almost a third of the population relies on remittances from family members who go to work overseas. This in a country wedged between two of the world's biggest growing economies, China and India. No wonder people are frustrated, says Kunda Dixit, publisher of the Nepali Times.
And the spark can catch fire and become a forest fire because everything is so tinder dry in terms of joblessness, economic frustration, inflation. You know, all the gamut of reasons, which is why North Africa is flaring up. Same reasons exist here as well.
But Nepal is already a democracy, and Nepalese are weary of war. They're also weary of political instability and deadlock that keep investors away. Energy-hungry India and China would both gladly tap into Nepal's vast hydropower potential whenever the situation becomes stable enough to develop it. Political parties blame each other for the delay. Congress Party leader Ram Charan Mahat says the fact the Maoists haven't given up their army suggests to him they aren't serious about peace.
Maoists have not given up their goal of People's Republic. You must give up violence, you must give up arms, and you cannot capture power with the help of force.
Mahat says his party isn't going to agree on a new constitution until the Maoists give up their army. The Maoists say they're holding on to their army, now idle and in the barracks, as leverage to get a better deal for the poor. Each side accuses the other of operating in bad faith. Political analyst Prashant Jha says the Maoists have some cause for feeling that way.
There was an effort to isolate and encircle them in order to generate pressure on them to give up the army. But I think that boomeranged. You can't push somebody to the wall and then say, give me your source of strength.
Jha says the Maoist record in power was disappointing to many who voted for them. They wanted faster progress. But some voted for the Maoists only because they wanted to get the Maoists out of the forests and into the system. They are now in the system, and Jha believes that's where they'll stay.
I don't see that situation where the Maoists come in, capture the state and impose their kind of totalitarian political and economic system. I think that the Maoists have realized that they have to coexist with other forces. This will be a democracy of some sorts. A flawed democracy, a dysfunctional political system, perhaps a noisy and messy one, but the Maoists will have to live within that system.
Maoist Politburo member Kim Lal Devkota says his party wants to develop a successful capitalist economy in Nepal. He says that's a precondition for socialism. He even finds inspiration in European-style social democracy.
Immediately after the unification of Germany, they introduced social market economy. That type of economy could be one of the model for Nepalese context.
Critics are skeptical. But others see the Maoists as the closest thing they have to a champion in a system stacked against them. At dusk, in Kathmandu's Durbar Square, rickshaw driver Dumar Rana says when the Maoists were in power, they helped people like him get rickshaws, and they still have his support. He says he may still only make $3 or $4 a day, but the Maoists gave him dignity. They gave people like him a chance to be heard. And what he'd like politicians, including the Maoists, to hear now is to get on with it and help the people they were elected to help. For The World, I'm Mary Kay Magstadt, Kathmandu, Nepal.